the saving the roots in text files, and also I don't know yet quite how to do at the where you can have the audio files. I've read about it briefly, but I haven't actually physically done it yet, so I'm looking forward to doing both of those in the near future.
Yeah, I personally think the saving read directions as a text file is a pretty cool feature, and it's a real nice because it saves as a text file, which means you can transfer it to pretty much any device, laptop, PC, other PDAs, or just anywhere, which is pretty cool.
And what does it look like in the text file? Just directions? Or I've had a play with it. I really like it. I haven't created any text files or anything like that yet, but I haven't actually had a chance to go out much with it. I've been out once driving with it, but overall I really like it. It's a lot faster at calculating routes, that's for sure.
Well, when it saves as a text file, you have an option of including the waypoint numbers, or if you want, you can have just turns only, or each and every waypoint of the route. So if you have it as just turns only, it'll just pretty much going as you would advance through the turns using the 36 command or the whatever it is on the QT. It would just show that information on each individual line.
As well as the distance, between each one, what street you're going to be turning on it, just as if you were issuing those commands, like Kevin said. So, and that's actually what's happening underneath the hood, is that I'm moving either waypoint to waypoint or turn to turn, and capturing all of that text and putting it to a text file. We also include, I think, the type of route, if it was a vehicle route or pedestrian route and stuff like that, and put that at the top. And there's a few other stuff that we have at the top as well. So yeah, it's a really cool feature. It's something that other products have had, and we're just happy to be able to finally put it in.
Yeah, I think another piece of information that's available on top is the total route distance that you can obtain by the RAD command.
Yep, and in the future, if people feel that there's something else that they would like to see in it, we can add that pretty easily. So, it's definitely a feature that can be built upon in upcoming versions.
Now, can you convert existing routes that have the GPS extension to text files with this feature?
Sorry, say that again. I was reading a message up top, John, and then I'll answer that one, Debbie.
She's asking if you can go and save existing routes that have the GPS extension into text files using this feature.
Yes, you just open the route and then save the text as directions.
All right, Chris, you're back with us, I see. And you're recording on the other computer, and so you must have two computers running?
Yep, one without a microphone that's recording, which doesn't matter, and then one with a microphone.
Okay, I was able to record too, so we'll see what we think. And Debbie, you were asking if you can develop a text route and install it on the Braille Note. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You first have to create the GPS route and then save it as a text file. We can't take a text file and convert it backwards. That just won't work because there won't be any lat lons or anything else like that to go with. No problem.
That was actually Craig's question, not mine. But what is the advantage of creating a text file as to opposed to an audio file? I mean, I'm trying to figure out why I would want to do that.
A couple reasons. One, you could have a menu of a restaurant that is a text file that's 1 or 2 kilobytes, because it's long. An audio file would take forever to listen to, so you have text searching capability. Another reason, one thing that I did is I went to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and put the associated with GW Micro Windowize manual to GW Micro, so that when I go there, I can just read the manual. It's just something I was doing as a test, but the manual was 1 megabyte, as opposed to a several hundred megabyte audio. You couldn't even do it, actually.
Thanks, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think those two features of audio and text files are pretty nice, especially if you're going to like a museum or a restaurant, like Chris said, and I've used it a few times here and there for sculptures, sort of, since there's a little plaque that says, gives a little bit of information about what the sculpture is, just had somebody read that and associate that audio file with the point of interest, which was pretty cool, so I can go back and review it and just have the additional independence with that.
Now, when you're passing by an audio or text point of interest, you'll hear a sound, one played for audio, and then it's that same sound played backwards for text files. If you have a Braille display, you will notice on the Braille display it says text to let blind deaf individuals know that there's text associated with that text POI.
And I haven't had a chance to play with the audio tutorial yet, so I don't know if they are the same as 4.0 or if you have done any kind of demonstration with the new features other than just the README stuff.
They are the same as far as the content, but the new features were integrated
Tina
into
has
the
entered the room.
Tutorial.
You know what you said, the last line, because somebody was entering the room and that overshadowed your voice. So I heard you say that they were the same except that, and then I didn't hear the rest of it.
The audio, the new features are integrated into the existing audio tutorial. So the new features are there as if it looks like it was done from scratch, but it wasn't. It was there was a lot of editing going on behind the scenes.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'll have to take a look at that today.
And one thing also to note about the new points of interest and the ability to add audio points of interest text or audio tags is if you don't name the point of interest, if you just press enter when it asks for a name, it will automatically give it a name like POI1, POI2, etc. And keep moving up by one, okay? And then it will just ask you to record the audio, and you can either press return and then start speaking into the microphone of the Braille note, and then press return again to close it, stop recording, or you can actually press the record button to record and stop recording. So it's very well integrated with Keysoft as far as the recorder, and will grab that audio clip and save it to the point of interest 1, point of interest 2 file. So that's very quick, and if you want to just make a quick note about something and then go in and rename those points of interest after the fact, you can then go into the editor and listen to each one and then rename the POI to have a better name instead of just POI1. You could just say, okay, you know, in your, let's say you were looking at a sculpture and you just press enter on the POI name and say sculpture of a woman looking at flowers. And then you can, after the fact, go through it and then just rename it from POI1 to woman looking at a sculpture, woman looking at flowers, whatever you want to call it. So it gives a real benefit to recording points of interest quickly with this new audio tagging system.
Good. I'm looking forward to looking into that more in more depth. I had another question going back to saving text files. Are those saved in any specific spot by default within the GPS folder, or can you save them wherever you want to put them?
It will prompt you to save them where you want to put them.
It would probably make more sense to leave them on the flash card if that's where the rest of your GPS stuff is.
Yeah, probably. So, you know, but I think it does default to the last place that you were, so, you know, it's the same behavior as always. And, you know, another little feature that was added in was the ability to restart a replay by just doing the reconnect feature. So that's kind of a nice little addition. And we probably will add more features to the replay as we move forward. There's definitely a lot of things that we could, like, fast forward, rewind, speed it up, stuff like that, times two, times three, you know, replays. we could get very creative with that feature for sure.
And probably a few more features to mention is the heading things, where you can force a heading as well as change it from city mode to automatic and instantaneous heading.
Yeah, that's a really big, powerful feature, and it'll be very interesting to see how well it behaves. You know, we did a lot of testing with that feature, and if you're in a big city with a lot of skyscrapers around, multipath is horrendous and can really wreak havoc. And the combination of the ability to say, okay, switch headings from, instead of being automatic, to city urban canyon. So all that's doing is basically is increasing the distance between when I look for your heading. And so I'll take samples every X number of seconds, and it's getting quite it could be a minute before I take another sample, and I take those lat-longs and figure out your true heading from those distances, and ignore all of the clutter of instantaneous moving around because of the multipath problems. And that, in conjunction with the other feature, force my heading to like north or south or something like that, can really be a big benefit. If you know you're going north on a street and there's a lot of multipath and a lot of buildings, you can say, okay, force me to north and switch me to city urban canyon, so it will stay north for a very long time before you actually, let's say, take a side street. But then when you do, you could force it again and say, okay, well, now I know I'm going west. Now I'm going to tell the system I'm going west, so you'll get a lot better reading of what street am I on, etc.
I think that's probably one of my favorite features because I had the chance to use it in San Francisco where I just exited a bar and you're not going to get a heading right away, as well as the whole multipath issue. So I just forced it to go west because that's the way I was going, that's the way I want it to go. So forced it to go west and then just changed it to City Urban Canyon, and the heading was really nice. It didn't like fly all over the place like it did during 4.0, because I remember doing the same exact route in San Francisco, exiting the BART station and a flying south, east, west, and north, and just every which way possible, which was multipath at its best.
Yeah, here we don't have not I can't actually think of many places in Sydney to actually try it. I'll have to go to a place where there's some really tall buildings and try it out.
So I just wanted to give you guys a rundown of what changes have happened from GPS 4.03 was the last patch to 4.2. We now have a brand new rich map engine from Decarta, and that is their rich map engine version 4.23, I believe. And it actually is anywhere from 20 to, we've seen it up to 50% even more, higher than that in quicker route calculations. So real big increase. Some routes actually about the same, hard to say, small pedestrian routes and stuff, but we've definitely seen a huge difference in the route calculation times. And improved pedestrian routes. In the past, we weren't always looking for the shortest distance. We thought we were, but it turned out that we weren't. And so that caused some pedestrian routes to be longer than they should have been. So we actually have a new algorithm in place that's handling that a lot better now. And so we're actually getting very reliable and very accurate pedestrian routes. That being said, because it's looking at every street possibility, we found, as most of you know, that now we can only create pedestrian routes in a shorter distance. So, like, I think it's 10 miles for the PK and 25 or 30 miles for the M Power. And that is because we're checking all streets and finding the absolute shortest distance now. Whereas before, if we got onto a street that was a higher priority, we didn't keep looking at smaller priority like local streets, which we should have been. So, pedestrian routes are definitely a lot better. And I'll let up for a second and then continue on with the differences. So, if someone wanted to jump in there, I can see your hand come up if you wanted to hold down the control key, and I'll stop and let you talk. So after pedestrian calculations, we now have automatic announcements for when you turn onto a different street, or enter a new city, or a new state, or province, or region for other countries. So that's a nice new feature. I think Trekker has a lot of those features, the street and city that you're on, and probably the state, I'm not sure. Let's see. Oh yeah, well, obviously the new rich point of interest content, the audio files, as well as text files that it can be associated with points of interest, as well as being able to record your own voice for points of interest, which is a huge deal. Also, a feature that, well, Trekker had the audio, being able to associate an audio tag from the recorder. I don't know if they expanded as much as we did, the ability to attach any audio file, and we also are attaching text files, or actually it's KWT or KWB files, so and launch the book reader for that. So that's a nice new feature that we're really happy about. Let's see, we also have, as we've said, root directions, so we can save those to a file for ease of printing. We have the abilities, if you have a new, to set your virtual position onto a map that you currently have loaded. That's a great little thing, so if you have multiple states or maybe a different country, you can set your virtual position onto that map by issuing a new command. It's V with, or backspace V on a QT, or control V on a QT, or a backspace V on a BT, sorry. And that usually goes to like the capital, or if we didn't know what the capital was, or because some regions are have multiple maps, it was an interesting place that that Chris found. So it could be for some interesting exploration. Oh, in address matching, when you do an address, it will tell you what, how far and the direction to those streets and cross streets as you scroll through those lists of streets that you're looking for. Okay, there was a question on the text chat. When you come into a new city you're not familiar with and you're trying to find an address, it asks you what part of the city you want. I noted that LA had several of these. We didn't know how to handle it. Yeah, address searching in cities that have multiple areas is still a problem. There's a lot of workarounds that you have to do in order to find an exact address if it's not obvious. This is something that we know that there's a problem. It's a big issue to deal with because of the inaccurate map data, and it's something that we think we have an idea of how to address in the future, but to do what we want to do is a huge undertaking. Just about as big as the whole roundabout issue that we've seen on the list just recently. So it's something that we want to try to figure out, you know, and it's we're aware of it, and it's a high priority, and we'll get to it. We also have the new feature, new heading orientation. Under heading orientation in the menus, we have not only left-right mode, which now doesn't, we've changed the terminology. So before we used to say ahead and left and ahead and right. Now we've changed that to slight left, slight right. So this is should be a benefit to a lot of people, a lot less verbiage and a lot more hopefully understandable. And we also added a new combination mode heading. What that is if you have the normal head, left, right, and behind, but those angle differences, instead of saying like slight left, slight right, or behind, slight right, etc., we actually will give you the clock face numbers. So we'll say at 1 o'clock or at 2 o'clock, but if it's to your right, it'll say right instead of saying 3 o'clock. So that's that new feature, which is a hybrid of the other two, clock face and left right mode. We moved some menu things around to make it so we used to have like root settings and root management. We've combined a lot of that and made it a lot simpler to use. That's a big plus is that menus have been the GPS receiver has been changed from a hotkey list that you had to like listen to the entire list to figure out what you had to press. We made it into a menu, so you can actually treat it as a menu now and space through it to find what you're looking for. There's a new command to set both your virtual and your destination to a position. So there was a lot of times where you wanted to set your destination and then virtually look around there. And before you had to set your destination and then you had to set your virtual to your destination. Well, we've made it a hotkey now, and all of the things that you could set your destination or your virtual to, we now have a B for both where you can set both of them. We've also improved the GPS route headings, especially in pedestrian mode, with this new automatic feature for headings. We're doing a lot better job of actually doing a lot better job at figuring out your headings, especially at slow speeds. And we take your speed into account at pedestrian speeds, and do the correct averaging based on your speed. So as your speed increases, it gets faster, then the GPS heading is more reliable, and so we start using that. When your speed starts to slow down and get into the 1 to 2 mile an hour range, then we do a different technique to average your heading to give you more reliable heading at pedestrian speed. So this is a great benefit, and that's that new automatic mode where it will figure out your heading based on your speed. The new feature when you enter the program, and let's say under Keysoft you had Bluetooth turned off for some reason, either Keysoft did it to you on by mistake, and you didn't realize after reset that Bluetooth was off, or you just turned it off and forgot to turn it back on. On entering the program, if you had a Bluetooth receiver selected, it will tell you that Bluetooth has been turned off and you need to go into the connectivity options to turn it back on. That was a cause of a lot of tech support calls where they found out that Bluetooth was turned off for some reason. When you reach your route destination, we actually automatically close the route now. That's a new feature that we've added. And for the most part, we think that this is a great idea because most of the time you didn't want this route, and if you did, then you would save it after you created it. So, and all of the commercial products, once you reach your route destination, they close the route automatically anyway. So we just felt that it was the right thing to do. And that's primarily it. If you want, I can expand on any one of those. But those are pretty much all of the features in 4.2, and they're all speechless. Either that, or they're ganging up on me, and they're trying to phrase the questions. So, don't be shy.
It's just such a great release. They don't have any questions.
I think the other thing is it'll be good, you know, once a lot of us have had a chance to really try it out. I mean, I've had a chance to use it in virtual setting, but not really been had a chance to like put it through its paces majorly yet, but
I'm pretty amazed that you got as much done so quickly. Unless, well, you know, a lot of this stuff was being worked on during the last release, and you just didn't have a chance to get into that one. But you put a lot of things in here very, very quickly. So that's pretty amazing. And you know, I don't know. The problem with doing that is people are going to say, you know, in 5 months, hey, where's the next release?
Yeah, I know. That's the always the downside of this. No, we weren't adding stuff at the end of last one that didn't make it in, but it was stuff that was added to the Way to Go product, and so a lot of this stuff, you know, made it into that release, and then to make it in, go into GPS was already done, so I didn't have to do anything. Just continue from there. And just make it work better under with the GPS. So, Yeah, with this whole new way to go product, as I switch from one to the other, features that I add to one, if it's relevant, will make it into the other. So it's making for a very interesting product schedule and product release. So yeah, I don't know, I think the next release will have new updated maps and points of interest. And that's always a huge job and takes a lot of testing. So don't expect the next release to be as fast as this one.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get updated maps. Our map was, or our map's 2006, so it'd be nice to get a bit more of an updated map.
Which map was that, Scott? I was not sure about that.
Australia.
Oh, okay. Well, I got that from HumanWare, so whatever Trekker has, that's what we have for this.
Yeah, Trek's got the same map. Yeah, because I've got both, and they've both got exactly the same map. Only it's pretty interesting. I went to the US last week, and the map information was just so much better.
Wow, that's incredible. How do you find Trekker versus Sendero for the same maps in Australia? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, they're both. I mean, it's interesting. I tend to use sort of one for each one for like different situations. I mean, I find that now with the new city, with the new announcement where when you change cities and everything with 4.2, that will be nice. Trekker does it, but it doesn't do it as it doesn't announce some states. I don't think it's got city, I think, but not the states. But I think, yeah, I mean, the information is pretty much the same. Brown Note, of course, picks up more of the points of interest and things like that. But I think overall, it's very similar actually, because it's the same map. It would be nice to actually have a different map in a way to get different ideas, but I guess that's the thing with the US, that they're two different sets of maps, so.
That's correct, yeah, because we have Teleatlas and they have Navtech, and it's interesting because in certain areas Teleatlas is so much better than Navtech, and in others Navtech blows Teleatlas out of the water. So, there's no perfect solution out there. And I know people have asked us in the past, well, why don't you support both maps? Well, if I was to support both maps, well, one, it takes like a month or 2 months to do one set of map releases, so that means automatically double that, so 4 months to do all of those maps. And for us to, we have to pay royalties on every map that we purchase, as well as an upfront cost that we have to pay them just to have their maps. It's like I forget exactly how much it is, but it's in the thousands of dollars per year that we have to pay them, without even selling them a single map. So to pay that royalty and that upfront cost to both companies would just, all of a sudden we'd have to charge our users a lot more for not only the initial product but also any map release. We would have to like add on $50 or $100 more. So no one wants to see that. So that's why we don't offer both sets of maps if anyone was interested. Sorry, I was just on my soapbox.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, our map, the Navtech map, the original map that came out when GPS 3.51 was released, to be honest, was actually pretty bad. It was, I think, it was like 120 meg in total. The new map, the entire country is 522 meg, so it's not huge.
Hi guys.
Hey, Judy, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah, please. I'm glad to see the product on the VoiceSense, but in talking to some people who know what's going on at HumanWare in at least a year or maybe a year and a half, we're all going to have new boards with them, and the new cells are transplantable, but those of us who have the semen cell, the yeah, semen, right, the Tiemann cells are going to not be able to get those transplanted, which means we're either going to have to make a big purchase for another Empower or find another device. And that's obviously not under you guys' control. But what I would like to know is, I know that since you've just done the voice sense, it would take another year or so, but a lot of us would like to see if the product could be run on something like the Braille Plus or the Icon by Level Star. They're both made by the same manufacturer on the Linux system. Have you guys considered doing that? Because that's a very small device, and it's beginning to be more and more popular.
We've actually had major discussions with the Level Star people regarding putting our software, because we have the SDK, onto their device. The main issue right now is that, well, there's two issues. One, Decarta currently doesn't have a RichMap engine that runs on that specific Linux platform. They do have some Linux machines they support, but not the Pocket devices for Linux. And also, then I would have to completely rewrite my software to run under Linux, and that would be a huge undertaking. So even if we had the RichMap engine for that version of Linux, it would take me another 8-10 months of me working full-time on that only. So that would mean any product development for our GPS Braille Note products would suffer. So I don't think it's going to happen. unless someone else decides to do that work for me, I can't see it happening on a Linux device. Now, if, you know, there's Pocket PC devices which wouldn't work under Windows Mobile, and we do support Windows Mobile, and we support Windows 32, and we also support Pocket PC 2003. So any of these new devices that are coming out that are running on the Windows platforms, there is a possibility, a very good possibility, that our software will run under those systems. So, you know, to do that's like telling a person, okay, I have a really awesome Windows program, I want to port it over to the Mac. That's not a very easy operation, and you would have to have another whole development team working on that. So, that's pretty much the long and the short of it.
Yeah, the other thing about the Icon, etc., is they're only available in the US. They can't be distributed or anything outside the US, so that would also limit people who want to get them, e.g. The US, and would be the only people who'd be able to take advantage of that device. I think it'd be more, it'd be better for, well, everyone if it ran on a Windows Mobile device, because there's just so many of them available. I mean, I do know that there are things happening with the Empower next year. The PK is staying around, of course. I can't say much on it. I do know quite a lot about it, but all I know is that, the Empowers you've got will still be supported for a long time yet.
Some of us are not quite happy with the Keysoft system on the Empower. Because of bugs that it has and problems we've run across, and I'm beginning not to recommend it to clients of mine. I'm an adaptive tech specialist, and I understand that it would be really expensive for you to do it on the Icon or Braille Plus, but I'd like to see it on some other Windows devices, because basically people want smaller devices, and the ergonomics of the PK for people who either have large hands or coordination problems, the PK is something that they really don't want. And of course, there aren't that many cells either, but that's not, you know, if we could get it on devices other than the HumanWare devices and the BrailleSense, it would be very helpful, I think, to give people more choice. And I know that it's taken you a while to get it on the BrailleSense, and you know, it might be a job for you to to get it on some other devices, but people are beginning to avoid PacMate and BrailleNote because of the size. Not everybody is, obviously. Some people are perfectly happy with what they've got, but other people want to get a PDA sort of piece of equipment that does more things and is a little bit smaller.
Actually, HIMS and GW Micro were the ones that took our SDK and developed it for their product, creating it and making it work on their product.
Yeah, that's right. So we didn't actually do the development on the voice the sense navigation. We made the SDK and they took it and they ported it to their device. We have a number of different companies that are currently working with our SDK and making it work on their machines. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the next, you know, year or less that there will be other, you know, voice senses and, you know, sense navigations out there from other companies that you're going to see the GPS, our GPS software on those products as well. So, you know, basically hold tight. You know, that's why we made this software developers kit. And if you have a machine out there that you really kind of like and it does run under the Windows platform in some way or another, then get them to get in contact with us if they haven't already. And, you know, we'll see about getting them an SDK and they could start putting in the UI to make the GPS run on their machine as well. So we're not, you know, tied exclusively to the BrailleNote, as you all know. And we're always looking for new devices to put it on. So I think this is well covered.
Thanks, Charles. I understand in April or May that there's going to be an upgrade to the BrailleSense. And I think, I don't know if it's just going to be hardware, but I heard that they're also going to do firmware. So, you know, that might be an improvement. We've all gotten into this route calculation thing, and it obviously doesn't matter if you're doing a 7-block route. I mean, it really doesn't, but if you're doing a 400-mile vehicular route, it does matter. And I'd personally just like to see it on some faster and better devices.
Actually, I will say this, I will comment. That route that we did on the list between Davis and the Lighthouse in San Francisco, our 4.2 version blew the voice sense away as far as speed. It was at least 20 seconds faster.
Yeah, and that's really good. I mean, but that's an improvement, obviously. But if you're doing a vehicular route or a train route or whatever, and you're trying to do 300 or 400 miles, that's a really long calculation.
Right, and you know, it is, and it's going to take some time. And then after it's done, you save it. But there's nothing we can do about that until the next MPower comes out that has a faster processor. We're limited to that. The VoiceSense has a faster processor, so with their faster processor, they were actually a lot faster in route calculations until we came out with this new RichMap engine. And, you know, they're eventually going to get that SDK as well. We have to, you know, it's product release schedules and everything else. But I assume that by March, April, they're going to have the new SDK as well and have that new feature as well. So their route calculation for long routes is going to be a heck of a lot faster than us again, you know. And then when HumanWare comes out with a new MPower that's has a faster processor, then all of a sudden we'll be the faster route calculator. It's always going to get better and better. So I don't see this as being a problem right now. It's, you know, we're dealing with it. We're doing the best we can, and all these companies are trying to get the faster processors out there to even make routes, long routes, even easier and faster to calculate. So I don't think there's anything more to be said on that.
I really appreciate it, Charles, and you guys are doing a good job. I'm basically talking about the fact that several people from our state agency, and we buy millions of dollars worth because we have a large budget in Texas, have written to HumanWare, and we wrote before this last board, and we asked for an even faster processor, and we haven't found HumanWare to be real responsive even to large purchasers.
Right, and, you know, it's difficult. I'm sure that, you know, that there's definitely a lot of talk, and, you know, but anytime they have to make a hardware revision, that's a huge investment for them. That's, you know, then customers get ticked off, and it's a big deal. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to do it, and then once the time is right, they have to find the manufacturer that can give them the chips at the price that they want. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it, and they're definitely taking everyone's opinions seriously, and it's just a matter of economics and, you know, when they can do it. So if there's a new hardware revision to come out, I'm sure that they're going to be getting the best processor they can to put in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we all know, they could have gotten a better processor for the last board and chose not to. And a lot of people would have been willing to pay, you know, $25 or $50 more to get a little bit faster processor. So when choosing companies, I hope that you take the processor and memory into, you know, into consideration when choosing who to work with and what you guys plan to do. Anyway, that's why I came on here, was to find out if you guys had plans to work with other companies, serious plans, because some of our clients are putting off purchases until they see what happens in April or May with the VoiceSense, and a lot of people are very angry because they're purchasing, you know, they've purchased Empowers with the Tiemann cells, and they're not going to be able to transplant those, but the new cells are going to be able to transplant. So anyway, it's just one of those things where if you happen to have gotten the wrong display, you're just in bad luck.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, and I can sympathize for sure. And, you know, as far as Sendero is concerned, we don't really, you know, when we deal with a new company, we're just saying, okay, will you be able to sell X number of GPSs on your device? We don't care what processor you have or whatever, you know, but we're not limiting ourselves to any of that. So we're just looking to work with as many third-party vendors out there that want our SDK to put on their product. And we're seriously, you know, we have about four or five different people that we're working with. So, you know, and HIMSS is just the first company that came out with a product. So, and Debbie, okay, you guys, Merry Christmas, and have a wonderful New Year yourselves there, Craig and Debbie. It's been a pleasure. And Debbie, I'll have to talk to you after Christmas and get an update on how things are going. So you take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Eileen, something like that. I keep getting your name wrong. Sorry. How are you doing?
Well, I haven't yet upgraded, and this is very exciting. But I have an embarrassingly basic question to ask. I cannot get into, and I've always had this problem, I cannot get into the maps folder. I am running JAWS, and I type in my username and password, and I always get the message that either my serial number or my password is incorrect. I sent a message to forgot your password, and it came back with the very password that I'd been using. So can anybody, either a JAWS user, or what the heck am I doing? Because this is really getting me sad.
Do you have your caps lock key on?
We're case insensitive, so it doesn't matter if you had the caps lock key or not on. That's not the issue. You know, one thing you may want to try is trying it under Firefox. That might help. I don't know, that might fix your problem, and that's free, so you can just download Firefox and try that.
The other thing you might want to try is to clear your cache and cookies and temporary internet files.
Well, how do I do that?
In IE, you go to Tools and Options, and then there are a few buttons that you tab through, and it's delete my cookies, delete my temporary internet files, and things like that.
Ho ho. All right. I'll try that. But otherwise, this sounds wonderful, and I'm definitely going to get another Christmas present for myself and make sure I get 4.2 on my system fast.
So, Scott, any comment from you on the roundabout issues in Australia?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll just say that it's an issue with both products. We had a great issue with the first map that we had, that which was the really small map. And there were, I know in one particular town, you went to the town, the whole, and either system would just crash. But yeah, the roundabouts are better. But I think it's just an ongoing thing. I mean, they work. What would be nice is if it told you what exit to get off at. But I guess that's a whole another area.
Right, and that's something that I obviously want to work on, and we'll, if it, I'm really trying, in the next release to see if I can get that in. I can't promise anything, but it's definitely something I'm shooting for. But I am surprised that, or sort of interested that Trekker's doing the exact same thing, sort of we are, that we're no. That they haven't figured it out yet either, so, but I'm sure that they will, and we'll need to as well. So, but rest assured, it's something that we're serious about, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's the fact that I'm using the same map on both products. I haven't tried either on roundabouts since the last two versions of, like, the last versions have come out. Mind you, they haven't had one for Trekker for a while, but I'll have to try them, and get back to you in the new year about it and see how it works out. But I know that, in places like Canberra, there's a lot of roundabouts, and there's a few around here, but not many.
Right, yeah. We've definitely made some improvements on it, but it's nowhere near perfect, and exit numbers would be the best thing, as long as I can do it reliably. And then figuring out the exact verbiage to say, for both pedestrians and vehicles is something I want to do right, so that just works the way that you expect it. So, a lot of development still left to do, but we're working on it.
Yeah, I guess it'd be similar in the UK as well as Australia. But is the exit info actually in the map? In the map stuff?
No, it's not. And what I would have to do is sort of count exits, and that's the problem. That to do that reliably, I need to make sure that it's working, and not counting a railroad that crosses it, or a footbridge over top, that crosses it, or a subway underpass that crosses it. And there's a lot of different things that could potentially, the system would think that it's an intersection and therefore a possible exit, and I wouldn't want to count those when telling you take the third exit when it's really the second exit.
And also, isn't there an issue of counterclockwise versus clockwise, depending on if you're in the US or if you're in the UK or Australia?
There's that, and then pedestrians, doesn't matter which, if it's clockwise or counterclockwise, it's the shortest distance around the roundabout. So all of these things have to be taken into account. So, that's why it's not a very simple solution.
Yeah, fun times ahead.
Yeah. And John, you've been kind of quiet today. How's everything?
Everything is fine. I just haven't had a chance to do a lot of walking around. Most of the time I'm in a car, so I've been playing with that, but I just haven't had a chance to really spend a lot of time. Might be able to do something this weekend, and over Christmas, we'll see. But things are going fine. I've got I've got the 4.2, and from what I've noticed so far, I really enjoy it, and it's working very well. I forgot all about upgrading my monthly POI, so maybe I'll just wait and do that in January. I downloaded them and forgot to install them, so oh well, we'll get to that in early January. And it looks like Jamie Adams and I are going to be at Disneyland on one of the days in the early part of January and continue working on points of interest. I don't know how much we'll get done, but because Disneyland's just about done, but there are other areas of the resort that are not. So hopefully we'll get a chance to spend some time working on that, and I'm looking forward to that a lot as well.
Cool, and she'll be actually able to put in the audio points of interest then there, and that'll be kind of cool.
Now, can we go back and do existing points of interest and attach those to existing files, or is it from here on out?
You could attach them to existing ones, but it might be a little bit more work. I don't think there's an easy way to attach. Oh, yeah, I guess you could go in and attach it to, if there are still user points of interest, to attach them.
They're not. They're commercial VPIs.
Well, if she had the original user file, she could do it again.
She doesn't.
Okay, well, that answers that.
That's pretty nice, Charles. I had the chance to play with the look-around feature where, since I flew into Louisiana yesterday morning, I got permission to use the GPS, and it was pretty nice just having the city and state announcement as I flew across many states and many cities.
That is so cool. Oh, man. Gotta love that, man. That's great. Makes flying a little bit more enjoyable.
So where's the 3-hour replay, Kevin?
I actually didn't make a replay this time.
Oh, come on. We miss out on that. We don't get to use I was thinking of using GPS all the way to the US, but I thought most of the time I'm flying over ocean, so it wasn't worth it.
Kevin, what are you doing, buddy? You're killing us here.
I know this is one time I actually didn't make a replay, and I'll make one when I go back. What about that?
Forgiven.
Yeah, do that, because it'll be a longer flight on the way back, I assume.
And actually, since we're talking about replays and stuff like that, I'm actually going to get going, and I'll catch you guys later.
Have a good one, Kevin. Merry Christmas.
Take care, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well, I guess I'll take off as well, and it was fun as usual. Thank you, everybody. And Charles, Merry Christmas to you and to all the girls. And Chris, Marla, John, Scott, whoever else is on the chat group, have a wonderful holiday, and we'll see you all the next time around, hopefully.
You too.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. We'll see you next week.
We're going to have a big New Year's, New Year's Eve, Christmas, GPS party.